Welcome to Girls Gone Hallmark, a Hallmark review podcast. I'm Megan, and I'm your longtime Hallmark movie fan.
I'm Wendy. I'm a former Hallmark hater, except
I did just see the me lineup, and you might have one grouchy co-host on your on your hands.
I'm taking away the former for the month of May, perhaps.
Maybe.
Bringing her back. Today, we're discussing One Bad Apple, a Hannah Swenson mystery, which originally premiered on the brand new, rebranded Hallmark Mystery Channel on Friday, April 5th. Hang out with us when the podcast is over. We are on Instagram in two places, both Girls Gone Hallmark and Megan and Wendy.
Come on over and jump into our Girls Gone Hallmark Facebook group. I was just noticing we are inching up to 700 over there.
I bet we hit it in the next week.
Ooh, I would love that. So come join if you aren't a part of an awesome Hallmark related community.
Yes, ma'am. We wanted to share an email we received.
Yes.
Wendy got excited because she thought it was the mean email, but I'm not going to share the mean email.
We didn't get a mean email. We got an email from a guy that obviously doesn't know anything about us. It was so bizarre and hilarious.
Yeah. It basically was a pro Bill Abbott email.
Yeah.
It was shocking.
Like, where have you been, dude?
But this is in regards to last week's review of Shifting Gears, starring one Tyler Hines. And I'm actually going to keep this person's name anonymous. Just you'll see why.
Okay.
It says, Megan and Wendy, I thought you were generous in reviewing Shifting Gears. It was old Hallmark to me and, frankly, boring. I didn't think there was any chemistry between the leads, and as you discussed, there were some miscasts. I don't fault you at all, though. It's a tough position to be in with those crazy heinies. So I think you handled it as well as possible, and you don't deserve any hate mail. And we didn't actually get any.
No.
I really want to love it for Crystal Lowe's sake. Me too. But they just didn't give her good material to work with. I've already given you a 5-star rating. Otherwise, I'd give you another one today. Which is a reminder to every listener that if you haven't given us a 5-star rating, what you waiting for?
Yeah, on Spotify or Apple Reviews.
Indeed.
Apple Reviews, Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I will say, if you are an Apple user, the Apple Podcast system is the best place. It's kind of like the gold standard of podcast reviews.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So thank you for that email. We love your emails. And you can also share opinions, as people do, on these episodes in our Facebook group. And you can talk to other Facebook fans. As Wendy mentioned, there is a discussion of both this past weekend's movies going on in there at this moment.
Are you ready for a synopsis?
Yeah.
Hannah is asked to... Oh, wait. Let me back it up here. The synopsis was really long. I had to rewrite it in AI, so...
Oh, let's see how it goes.
It's fine. It's fine. Hannah is asked to teach a class at the local college, but her equipment is tampered with, causing an explosion deemed an accident by the fire department. When a colleague is later found dead, Hannah suspects foul play and begins investigating. With the help of her friends and family, she unravels the mystery surrounding the murder. Along the way, she encounters Lake Eden's prosecuting attorney, Chad Norton.
One Bad Apple was directed by Shannon Coley. She has 25 directing credits, and she also directed the most recent Hannah Swenson mystery, Zest for Death. She directs a lot of television. She has directed episodes of the shows Dirty John and You, both shows Wendy's and Hannah.
Love those shows. Love those shows. Hey, I didn't realize that Ali Sweeney was the script writer for this movie.
Indeed.
Until... somebody mentioned it in the Facebook group. They were like, Allie did such a great job with this. I was like, what? So then I looked it up on IMDb and there she was.
There she was.
Allie adapted the novel Apple Turnover Mystery by Joanne Fluke. And this is her first writing credit. She also served as producer on this movie.
And speaking of Allison Sweeney, she does, of course, play Hannah Swenson. She has 47 acting credits. I feel like every time we say that, it needs to have a giant asterisk because she has 3,000 episodes of Days of Our Lives among those acting credits. So, girl's been acting. Since wrapping the Wedding Veil series, she has appeared in 3 Hannah Swenson mysteries, as well as Love and Jane in February 2024. And I do believe there was intel in our Facebook group that the next Hannah Swenson mystery is in production.
Really?
Yeah.
Fast.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Webster
plays Chad Norton. Victor has 91 acting credits and first appeared opposite Allison Sweeney in the Wedding Veil series as her husband, Nick. He most recently appeared in Mystery on Mistletoe Lane during Countdown to Christmas. Outside of Hallmark, Victor can be seen on Working Moms and Motherland, Fort Salem.
Tess Atkins plays Michelle. Tess made her appearance as Hannah's sister Michelle in Sweet Revenge and has reprised her role in each subsequent Hannah Swenson mystery. She has 19 total acting credits, which includes a recurring role on CW's The Flash.
Juliana Wimbles plays bakery partner Lisa. Juliana has 41 acting credits. She wasn't in Zest for Death, but she's back holding down the fort in the bakery during this murder investigation.
Lisa Durupt is back as Andrea. Lisa played Sister Andrea in the original Murder, She Baked series and was brought back into this series' fam in Zest for Death. She has 72 acting credits, which include roles in Time for Them to Come Home for Christmas and the series Heartland.
Sebastian Graves plays bad brother Perry. Sebastian has 16 acting credits and recently appeared on Hallmark in the Gilded Newport Mysteries movie. He was also in 2019's Time for You to Come Home for Christmas.
Gabriel Hogan plays Norman. Norman's a fixture in the Hannah Swenson universe, and his will they or won't they energy doesn't appear to be going anywhere anytime soon. He's had long-running roles in the series Tacoma FD as well as Heartland.
Hilary Jardine plays Stacy. Hilary gets a double feature this weekend as she was also in Blind Date Book Club.
Barbara Niven is back as Dolores. We got Babs. Barbara has 112 acting credits, and while she does almost exclusively work for Hallmark these days, she was recently in a film called The Last Word, which I looked up because the movie poster for it was kind of steamy looking. It is a filmed live stage performance where she plays the wife of a novelist, and the novelist is struggling after her death because she would always write the last chapter of his novels.
Oh.
She returns as a ghost. But this is a live stage performance, and I was like, who wants to watch that? But then the reviews are pretty decent. Wow. So I'm intrigued. Everyone says she's amazing, and she is one of the two leads in this production. Now. And was in 2023, very recent.
Oliver Rice plays Bradford Ramsey. Oliver has 39 acting credits, and he first joined the Hannah Swenson universe in Zest for Death. Most recently, he was seen as hot friend Chris in Magic and Mistletoe.
Maitreya Scarwinner plays Willis Sunquist. Maitreya has one of those faces. I was like, I know her.
100%.
She has 39 acting credits, alternating between Hallmark films like The Wedding Cottage and Midlove Crisis, and darker fare like Killing for Extra Credit and the soon-to-be-released When Mom Becomes a Murderer. Get out your bingo cards because she also appeared in one episode of Once Upon a Time.
Cheska Vega plays Pam. Cheska is a relative newcomer with just 4 acting credits. This is her first Hallmark movie, but she has also appeared in a small role on Virgin River.
And finally, One Bad Apple was filmed in Vancouver, just around the corner, in February 2024.
Wow. I mean, that feels like yesterday.
Indeed.
Wow.
What's your first impression of One Bad Apple?
I really wanted 2 things from this movie. One, Hannah's chocolate marshmallow bars, which I've never heard of before and sound amazing. And 2, Victor Webster.
My first impression is simply, I'm all in on the Hannah Swenson universe.
Because you like the cast, the stories, everything about it.
That's what the rest of this
episode
is for.
Okay. Let's talk about what you liked then.
Well, this cast is deep, as you heard from our news and notes. And I think it really just makes it very full. It doesn't make it confusing. We did not watch the Murder, She Baked franchise. We watched the very first one to get an idea of what's going
on
here.
You, yes.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
You were supposed to. That was like the homework.
Okay, so professor, I don't remember.
I watched the very first one when it was Murder, She Baked. People get all in on their mystery series. And so you'll notice that the sister switched when it went from Hannah Swenson to Murder, She Baked, or the other way around. And now we got both sisters.
Yeah, that was kind of confusing for me.
Oh.
Because at one point, I was like, wait, are these both sisters? Because yes. I know there was, at some point, people were very unhappy that one of the sisters wasn't back in the series, and now she's back, but I don't know which one she is.
The blonde one.
Oh. Oh, interesting. So the gal with the long dark hair was the newer sister.
Correct.
And now they're all family again.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked that. I just think I like the cast. I like these characters a lot. I really love Norman.
I love Norman. And I have some notes about Norman.
I don't think it's ever going to be Norman.
I don't think so either.
You can't bring Victor Webster in and have it be Norman.
No. You think it could have been Norman with Cameron Mathis?
Yeah, I think they had real strong will there, won't they, energy. I think they still do. You know, Norman's the bestie.
I need Norman to get his due.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's such a nice man. And I think Hannah treats him nicely.
Yes.
But to me, Hannah doesn't look at him the way Norman looks at her.
No, and they make it very obvious. It's a running gag in this movie.
Yeah.
Her mom and her sisters are like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, every time Norman's around. And she's like, what are you all talking about?
But even at one time there, I can't remember. It might have been like one of the detectives. It was another man in the scene. It was Norman, Hannah, and another dude. And I can't remember who the other dude was. And the other dude was kind of disrespectful to Norman. Like, didn't treat him well, I thought. Mm. And I was like, why is Norman always getting like the shit end of the stick here?
Yeah, why is he the doormat?
He's so nice.
He's the local dentist. I love this cast. I think they work well together. I think they have a lot of natural camaraderie,
mm-hmm.
as you would hope this many movies into a series. You know what I also love? I love that Hannah brings baked goods wherever she goes.
And she always, like, presents them. Yes. She always, like, it's like if you opened her front door and I was like, here's a box of donuts. And I opened the lid for you to see.
Yes.
But I do love that she brings something. How does she have time? Well, I guess she has other bakers in the bakery making stuff, too.
Yeah.
Except they do show her in those scenes where she's, like, making the apple tart and all that.
Yeah, that seems to be the only time she does any actual baking because she's always off solving a murder mm-hmm. in every one of these movies, and poor Lisa has to run the bakery in her absence. But it's a pretty big place. She's got to have employees, and you know, she's just taking things out of the case to take with her. I love that.
Wouldn't you? I would. I'd be like, I'm going to take these marshmallow bars.
I love that because I always want to be the person who like shows up with like a nice gift when you go see someone, but who has the time?
Mm-hmm.
But now you're like, I've got a full bakery. I can just take a little selection every time and be everyone's favorite person.
Yeah. Nothing says hello like a box of cookies.
Freshly baked goods.
Anything. I'd be like, yes.
And then you got Mr. I don't have a sweet tooth.
I love that scene, actually. And I loved how she was like, what? No sweet tooth?
What?
That's her way. That's her way to get established. It's bribery, to be honest.
Sure, it's how she gets everything she needs.
Yes.
And now she's like, now what do I do?
Exactly.
I have to rely on my feminine wiles.
Oh. Hey, right off the bat, I did love how they addressed Mike's departure.
Peace, he's in Quantico. Isn't he a little old to be joining the FBI, though?
I don't know. Do you have to be a certain age to join the FBI?
Well, I think the Quantico process is challenging.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I mean, I know a lot of people are bummed that he's left the
Yeah, everybody
channel.
Who didn't like this movie is mad about the Cameron Matheson of it all.
I'm not attached to him in any way. I like him as an actor, but like I haven't seen enough to feel like devastated by his departure.
And we love Victor Webster.
And I love Victor Webster, so.
It's a nice swap. I think Victor and Allie have such nice natural chemistry together, and we knew that. It works for me.
He's the perfect addition to this show, movie, series. I mean, I think he's made for this role. He's like this, like, no-nonsense detective type that wears like a suit and...
But he's not a detective. He's an attorney.
Oh, you're right. Why did I think he was a detective?
I think that's natural because typically she's working alongside the detective. And we do have the detective in this movie who's been recently promoted, right?
You're right. He's the attorney, the prosecuting attorney for Lake Eden.
Yeah, he's the DA. And I like that we have Lonnie, by the way, is the detective. He got promoted in the wake of Mike's absence. But I like that Victor's not a detective. There's something about that. She's not really getting in his way.
Yeah.
And he even, there's multiple times he's like, I'm not involved yet until there's a criminal being charged. Like, I'm not all in on this. The thing I liked about Victor Webster's character is he does keep her at arm's length for the majority of this movie, but not in a nasty way, not in a snide way, in just a hard to get veil of professionalism sort of way.
I agree, but I think he's like ambiguously flirty.
Oh, sure.
Like when they see each other at the bar, when he's like, a man's got to eat or whatever. Or he didn't say that. He said something like, can I not have dinner? But they have this exchange. They like do a little cheers or whatever.
And then he goes to his date.
His hot date waiting over. Like, oh, it made me feel something.
I know.
It made me feel something. I was like, is Hannah feeling like how I'm feeling? Because is she like, who's this? I'm into this new dude. And then you see him with somebody. It was good. It was good. I freaking loved Barbara Niven in this.
Niven. Question.
What?
Did it feel hijinksy?
A little bit.
I worried because I really liked that
a
for her.
A little bit, but this is what I thought of. And this is a deep cut from our Patreon. But I was like, get a hobby or three, Barbara. Well, not Barbara, mother. What's her name on the show?
Oh, I don't know.
Hannah always calls her
Dolores
mother, and it drives me bananas.
Oh.
Do you call your mom mother?
No.
It's so formal.
Maybe it's a hint of sarcasm. My 13-year-old calls me mother sometimes.
I was wondering if it was. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, I enjoyed her. It was a little bit hijinksy, but I enjoyed her. Did you see the meme? I think it was posted in our Facebook group. It was like a side-by-side.
Miss Piggy.
Not that Barbara looks anything like Miss Piggy.
No, but they're wearing the same outfit. And it's intentional, right? She's supposed to look ridiculous. Obviously, anybody who's actually a private detective is going to try and blend in.
Right.
And she couldn't be more conspicuous with her gigantic camera.
Oh, my gosh. There was a scene right at the top when Hannah's in the classroom and she's notices someone taking pictures of her, which then she kind of like brushes off. I was like, what the hell?
Because she realizes it's her mom tiptoes away.
At first, gets interrupted by like her colleague, but then she realizes that it's her mom and she just makes this face like, are you giving, give me a break. two more things for me. I really enjoyed Hannah's clever breadcrumbs, her cupcake liners.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I don't know if she would be carrying them around with her, but I thought it was very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the debrief in the kitchen at the end of the movie between the mom and the sisters.
Yeah.
Kind of got like a nice wrap up for the viewer who doesn't really pay attention to the close details like myself sometimes. I enjoyed that.
Let's talk wishes.
I have a few.
Well, I would like to request it previously on when we're talking about these mystery series, particularly.
Oh, good call.
We're bringing in the sisters. We haven't seen Lisa Drooped in a while. So let's get like just a conversation where where it makes it clear that she's her sister.
Yeah. If you're new. That would help me.
Bradford, he was in the last movie, but remind me who he is. Remind me of her relationship with Norman. Remind me, if you're just jumping in, we talk about Mike. We never see Mike. Show me that they were engaged.
Yeah.
Show me all of these relationships real quick. I just need like a quick previously on Hannah Swenson mysteries.
Yes.
It would go a long way.
Yes. Let's get the producer in on this. Let's get the director. Well, I guess the director. Well, maybe. Whatever. Anyway, I 100% agree with you on that one.
Cool. What you got?
I hated Hannah's black clunky shoes.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Oh, there were several times. Like, she just was in a lot of, like, denim jeans and, like, tops. But then she's, like, walking through the school in these, like, black patent leather clunky looking shoes from the 90s. Just, Keith costumed, where are you?
Oh.
I didn't like it. However, she wore this beautiful like dark greenish gray dress when she went out with Norman. It was like long sleeve and long with a cute little belt.
Very Diane Van Forstenberg.
I loved it so very much. I just hated those shoes. I already spoke about Norman.
Justice for Norman.
Justice for Norman. Finally, I hated how easy it was for Hannah to jump behind the admin's desk at the college and just be able to pull up the grades for sure. a class. Like, that is not going to happen.
Sure.
It was so dumb.
Yeah. Too many passwords.
Give me a break.
Let's talk. Did you see that?
You don't have any wishes for this movie?
Yeah, we just discussed it.
What was it again?
I need a previously.
Oh, yes. But that's it? Just one?
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-oh. Okay.
You only had two.
Okay, you're right. I have three, technically. But all right. Did you see that? I have several.
I have two.
Okay. You go.
Well, I'd like to know, where's Diana, Norman's girlfriend? They reference her multiple times. She's played by the actress Julia Benson. She was not in Zest for Death, according to IMDb. Feel free to correct us via email or in the Facebook group. They talk about her, and Norman, it's awkward. He's like, oh, she's not available. They never, you know, oh, send my best to Diana. How's that lovely girlfriend of yours? It's too many points of contact without figuring out what's going on, mm-hmm. without even Hannah being like, yeah, where is she? Right? Where's Diana? Where's Diana? Maybe that's a running gag.
Maybe he broke up with Diana.
And we just don't know?
Because he's in love with Hannah.
Sure, but it's gone on for a long time.
This whole movie or longer now? Zest for Death, and before that, was she in?
The previous movie, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Diana Stan.
Do you want me to keep going?
Sure.
In the opening scene where Hannah is unloading items from her trunk and taking them into the bakery, at one point she picks up an apple with a giant chef's knife in it, and she just kind of like shrugs and walks away. Now, this woman, there is a murder around every corner. Now, we also, in that scene, of course, see someone photographing her. We don't know that it's her mother in that moment. My question is, did she just assume that this apple just like rolled out perfectly onto the knife, which, she's a chef, she'd have her knives all wrapped up nicely, not floating around loose like a projectile in the trunk? Or that must be what she thinks, right? She doesn't think someone came and stabbed this into the apple and I'm just gonna shrug my shoulders and walk on into my little bakery. Nothing bad happens here except someone's murdered every other week.
What would I think? I would definitely think somebody's hiding in my car and trying to get me.
Of course it's a message.
Of course it's a message.
Of course.
She's like, weird. Walks away. Did you notice in her classroom, they're making some sort of apple turnovers or some shit, and not every station had a cooktop? Mm-hmm. It was like one station would have like a cooktop burner and they were like sauteing the apples. But then the other station would have like a toaster oven. Well, I was like, well, you're all making the same dessert, though. So are we trading? Yeah. I guess you could be trading spots or whatever, but
it certainly didn't seem like it.
It was just, yeah, because they were always in their same little spot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting. Oh, Dolores always rocking like the fanciest jewelry. Did you Mm-mm. notice at all? Mm-mm. Always with like a fancy, it's costume jewelry, but it's like diamonds, cubic zirconia.
Oh.
Always. So like it would be something.
A statement necklace.
Yeah. Something I would wear like to a fancy event.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not photographing somebody from the woods, you know?
Not to debrief in the bakery.
Exactly. And finally, I thought it was a little bit silly when Norman and Hannah are having the whole showdown with like Willa and her brother. Like, are they in a cemetery?
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about.
There's like a gun.
Yeah, sure, at night.
And the detective Lonnie and Victor Webster mm-hmm. are like looking for them. They hear the gunshot and then they're like that way. And then they move that way. And then we see like the next scene, they're just like standing there again. Like they're waiting for the next thing to hear. Like they can't hear the arguing going
on
or anything like that. They're just waiting. Where's the next sound coming from? When's the big next sound? And then so we can move again. It just was weird. That's all.
Before we rate this movie, I do want to point out that I forgot to mention, I think Allie did a great job with her first script.
Me too.
I think the dialogue is real fresh. I thought the mystery moved along nicely. You know, there's a few red herrings, but it wasn't so over the top. I thought it was really well done. Let's rate this movie.
I gave it 3.5 stars.
I gave it 4.
I knew it was going to be up there for you.
I liked it.
Especially if you had just one wish.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was good too. It honestly made me want to bake too.
Oh.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
And I was like, I feel like I could whip something up in the kitchen.
Apple galette.
Not that fancy, but something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to come over tomorrow with my... Oh, no, you're coming to my house. So you better come to my door with your baked goods tomorrow.
I'm not the one who wants to bake. Follow through. I'm going to go get a bakery box.
I don't have time for that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Girls Gone Hallmark. We said it before. We're going to say it again. We love your ratings and reviews. It's the best way to support our podcast, and it's absolutely free for you to do. You can leave them in Apple Podcasts. You can leave them in Spotify. You can just drop a link on Instagram and tell a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Wow, I haven't heard that in 40 years, 30 years.
We'll be back later this week with our review of Blind Date Book Club. Goodbye.
Bye.